was at Ohio State's Pro Day yesterday that John Lynch, general manager of the 49ers, did not drop the mic, didn't spike anything, didn't go Rex Ryan and declare that they had won the offseason, but did say they did an excellent job of securing all of their needs of free agency and are in a position at number two to simply draft the best player available. And he's thrilled with that. Now, if you believe Kyler Murray is the best player available and the Cardinals don't take him, I'm not believing that the 49ers are taking him at number two when they can look across the board at everything else that they need, and we all assume it's going to be an edge rusher. But the one thing that we have to stare down with the 49ers, if the Arizona Cardinals draft Kyler Murray number one, the very first thing the 49ers will do as a divisional opponent is draft someone to hit Kyler Murray, because they're going to go Bosa or Quinnen Williams or Allen out of Kentucky, and that guy's number one job will be hit the player that was drafted directly in front of you.
What's so amazing about it is everyone thinks that best player available, of course, is devoid of any type of bias within the organization. In other words, if you've got Jimmy G, are you going to draft Kyler Murray?
No,
you're not going to do it. You're just not going to do it, and it's one of the reasons why on your 120 board or your 150 board, depending on how far and how deep you go, that's one of the reasons why you downgrade players, of course, that are at a position that you really don't need. They downgrade these guys. Best player available, but it's always within the context of what you need.
So did John Lynch get up there and say the 49ers have done a great job of overpaying and overrated and injured Quan Alexander? did he get up there and say?
No, he did not.
Because maybe he went after Quan Alexander, whose biggest trait is his speed, in anticipation of a Kyler Murray coming to the Cardinals. Maybe, just maybe on that front.
That's pretty good.
But I've seen some mock drafts that have them taking Quinnen Williams instead of the edge rusher. To me, what John Lynch really needs, getting back to need, would be the edge rusher. They've already gone with the Solomon Thomases and the DeForest Buckners of the world and the Eric Armsteads. They need that edge guy. Could they really go Quinnen Williams? Because I've seen a number of mock drafts say, as soon as the Cardinals go Kyler Murray, here comes Quinnen Williams to the 49ers.
And this is Todd McShay yesterday when he was at the Ohio State Pro Day, kind of focused on what you're saying, Paul, but not Kyler Murray to the Cardinals. Everybody needs an edge rusher in the top five.
If he's not the first overall pick by Arizona, then San Francisco is meeting with tonight. I think he'll be the second overall pick. All five of the teams in the top five need edge rushers.
He's going crazy on Bosa. Todd McShay is all over Bosa and still stressing that even though he's taking Kyler Murray in his mock draft, because that's what he feels the Cardinals will do, he's also has no problem hinting that if he's running the Cardinals, he's going Bosa. He thinks Bosa is the guy that all five teams that are drafting one through five should take.
It's interesting you're talking about mock drafts, because can you imagine all these other teams that are running their own mock drafts right now? How many do you think they have where the Arizona Cardinals are not taking Kyler Murray number one overall? Now it's too early to start their mocks. They haven't started that. But when they do, I think it would throw a massive wrench into the first round if, in fact, the Arizona Cardinals did anything but take Kyler Murray. I think people would be absolutely shocked, including the other teams.
You know how they would say the catbird seat? If the Raiders really do like Derek Carr, the Giants would have to come up to number four to try to make something happen, because everybody else is going to get in front of the Giants to make sure they're not getting the quarterback they want at six. And when I say they, meaning whoever the other team is, Miami, the Redskins, you can get from there to number four, because I don't think either of the next two teams would go quarterback unless you're trading with them.
And then your fear is if you do come up to number four, guess who's more than willing to trade number three? The Jets.
Yes.
So right, you might come up to number four with designs on, I don't know, Dwayne Haskins, and then somebody comes up to three and you're hosed because the Jets are looking to move out of there and cash in that pick and reclaim some of the first rounders they gave up last year.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people out there, a lot of scouts out there, they're talking about Nick Bosa, of course, and they're talking about Josh Allen, those two guys right there. And who would you take coming off the edge for the most part? And Masonians, it's not like I've sat down and broken down film. I have not by any stretch of the imagination, right? But having said that, doesn't the fact that Josh Allen, not only do I think he's twitchier, not only do I think he's got a better first step than Nick Bosa, right? But I also love the fact that where did he play football?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. Okay, not only the
no,
SEC.
No, no, no. The SEC.
No, no, no.
The Fighting Corey Peters.
Man with pride.
No. Kentucky in the SEC. How many games did they win last year?
Nine, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Eight?
They went to a mid-tier bowl game.
It was a lot higher than I thought, ladies and gentlemen.
They did. I'd have to look it up.
They were decent. They were ranked.
Kentucky is not a football factory.
No.
They are not a football factory by any stretch of the imagination, and I like that. I like that because I think, you know what, a guy like Josh Allen would not feel entitled in any way, shape, or form.
I was wrong that it was not 9, 10-3.
There you go.
Look, if the Cardinals stayed with defense number one and got one of the elite guys, okay. Quinnen Williams, Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, all right, I get it. But I think that the Cardinals think that if they go Kyler Murray number one and they're able to cash in Josh Rosen, oh, I don't know, for pick number 15 with the Redskins, they're still going to get a top-notch defensive front player.
Yeah, that's a good point, Bob.
Whether it's interior or edge rusher.
If they can.
if at 15, this draft is so loaded.
How loaded, Paul?
You will get one of the Clemson guys at least at number 15.
You know, it's just thinking about my point of how many people will trade with the Raiders, and then, Paul, your point, no, they'll go in front of the Raiders and go to the Jets. Let me up you again then. One of the fears is if – I don't want them to draft Kyler Murray. I want Quinnen Williams. I'll keep saying that, but – if they do draft Quinnen Williams number one, what about how many teams will call the 49ers? I mean, how will you feel as a Cardinal fan when Quinnen Williams off the board, you feel good about your defense, and then the 49ers are in a Kyler Murray trade, and the 49ers get a draft haul of unbelievable proportions, and you're dealing with the 49ers having two picks in the first round of the 19 draft and the 20 draft. I don't think the 2021 draft, but maybe right on top of that.
That's a great point because now the Niners are set with Jimmy G, and they could potentially get three first-round picks to fill every other hole they have on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a consideration.
Mm-hmm.
No
it's
doubt.
It's going to be awesome, man, to see how this thing unfolds. There's no doubt about it.
By the way, speaking of edge rushers, have you seen Chandler Jones?
Oh,
Did you see Chandler Jones?
22 pounds. I was talking about it yesterday, Paul. He looks unbelievable.
I'm like, what's did he shave? Was he wearing a beard? No, he's always had it. I'm like, what's the difference? Oh, he's just lost like 10 pounds off his head alone. I mean, he looks so thin. Are we sure he's even 250 or 255?
That's because there's such a massive difference between the 4.3 and the 3.4. So now everything's changed now that he's going to.
No difference between it. I mean, please.
Join Bickley and Murata today as they broadcast live from Twin Peaks off of Frank Lloyd Wright in the 101. They'll be giving you the chance to win tickets to see the Arizona Coyotes as they make their push for the playoffs. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details.
Stop it.
Coming up next, ASU did something they haven't done in a decade. Now, can they do it again? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Wolf came in this morning and said, let's go clubbing. As Bobby Hurley and Arizona State still dancing. As they won for the first time in about a decade. I think it was that team with Jordan Baczynski. Harden won one game, I think, in the first round in Miami. And then they lost in the second round.
I didn't go clubbing when I was 20. Let alone when I'm 56, Douglas. I was a guy that actually stood outside the door, you know what I mean? Stood outside the door.
Because you couldn't get in?
You, all right, you, get in there. You're good to go. I was working the door, of course, at Dr. John's, ladies and gentlemen, which really wasn't a club either.
They don't have clubs in West Virginia, do they?
Oh, they do.
Oh, they do?
Oh, yeah, they've got some clubs, all right, down by the river. The year was 1983, as a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, and I was I was in my sophomore season and hanging outside of Dr. John's. And suddenly there were five dudes who walked up to the door and said, "I want in." I said, "I'm sorry, you can't get in." And immediately my eyes went to their feet, ladies and gentlemen. Went to their feet first, and there it was, flat boots. And then suddenly my eyes came up from their feet to their hands that were at their sides. And suddenly I saw scabs on their hands. And I said, "You're not coming in here. There's no way you're coming in here. Go ahead, move along. Head out somewhere else." Because I knew there were miners, coal miners. Coal miners wearing flat boots and bloody knuckles. Scabbed over knuckles, that's trouble. I don't care where you are, but let alone in Morgantown, West Virginia, on a Friday night at about 11 o'clock at night. That is trouble.
What's the difference between the coal miners at Dr. John's and you in the dark time?
Nothing. Nothing, to your point.
I thought you were at least, I didn't know the answer to that. I thought you were at least going to say, well, you weren't looking for it, but you accepted it.
By the way, got jumped that night.
Oh.
And it did not end well for me.
Did you come back to Dr. John's?
Oh, yeah. I worked there.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know if you said okay.
Oh, of course.
I could see Coach Don Nalen saying, "You know what, Ron? Let's not do this as a side job anymore."
Look, I've had 23 concussions, ladies and gentlemen, and I can say that to you, okay, because they're my concussions. And yet, when I think about it, at Dr. John's is concussion number 24, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, not all from football. Hasn't happened in a decade. They got a win. First half, wow.
Really loved how we started the game and really took control of the game. And I thought our defense was very good. We mixed our defenses up some. And, you know, our zone was pretty effective in the first half and played very well in the offensive end. I think 14 to 26 at halftime from the field. And so played really clean at that end of the floor. And it was nice to have that margin.
And then?
In the second half, in order to continue to play in this tournament, we understand that we got to take care of the ball better. And,
oh, yeah.
But they have good athletes, and they never gave in, and very instinctive, players and really good basketball team. So it's exciting.
I like the way he's handling this. Be celebratory after the game. I hope that's not even remotely their attitude today.
No.
Because I'm not trying to be a jerk by saying it this way. They did everything they could to throw that game away to St. John's.
Oh, my goodness. There's no doubt about it.
The ball handling, the passing, the decision-making from 5 minutes left in the game on was as bad as it gets. You've already made the point today, and it's right. If the best rebounding team in America rebounds like they did last night, Buffalo's winning Friday at 1 here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. If they take care of the ball, both during most of the game and more specifically the end of the game, there's no doubt Buffalo is winning that game. I picked ASU because I think that they'll get it right, but Buffalo is a legitimate top 25 team,
yes.
And you have no chance of beating them if you don't do a better job taking care of the ball.
If on Friday when they play the UB Bulls, you tell me that the Bulls have 16 offensive boards, which the Sun Devils allowed.
Yeah, it's over.
Okay, just one metric, one stat, ladies and gentlemen. If you told me that is going to be the case, I'd tell you they lose the game to the Bulls. If you told me they turn the ball over 21 times.
Yep, it's over.
Just that alone, that stat alone, I'm saying, oh my goodness, how would the Sun Devils win that game? If you tell me that they occur simultaneously like they did last night, now all of a sudden I'm telling you they get embarrassed on Friday.
I love the stat assist to turnover ratio. It really shows how are you setting up your teammates and how are you protecting the ball. It's got to be above 1-to-1 in the positive fashion for assists. Got to be. You want it to be a little closer to 2-to-1. And then in the pro level, you want to be about 2.5 to 3-to-1. And I mean as a team. ASU was 12-to-21. Mm-hmm. Only 12 of their field goals had an assist attached to it.
Wow.
Yet they turned it over 21 times. It was really bad. But now Bobby Hurley's going up against the school that gave him his first head coaching job.
You know, Nate and I spoke, and we both agreed that we're really good friends, and We both helped each other tremendously in our careers, but that's probably not going to matter a whole lot on Friday.
What exactly does that mean, Bobby? I love this. Oh, my goodness. This guy's competitive nature is incredible. I love it. He becomes morose when he thinks about competing, right? Play that cut one more time and really listen to the sincerity, number one, in this. And really, what is it that he's saying?
You know, Nate and I spoke, and we both agreed that we're really good friends, and we both helped each other tremendously in our careers, but that's probably not going to matter a whole lot on Friday.
It doesn't
really
matter that you helped
me. That's not
going
to matter.
Doesn't matter that you helped me.
We're good friends. I just want you to know that's not going to matter at all on Friday.
That's him to a
T. Oh, my goodness.
Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast brought to you this week by Kinetico. Let's play the spectrum game. This is the game where we go from one end of the spectrum to the other. On the competition spectrum, we have in your right hand, Bobby Hurley.
Bobby.
Head coach of Arizona State.
Love Bobby.
And on the other end of the spectrum, we have DeAndre Ayton.
DeAndre.
Who isn't quite all the way to Dwight Howard level, but we're hoping.
Love DeAndre.
James Jones said something on Burns and Gambo yesterday that kind of grabbed my attention. Great question, but the answer is not going to surprise you. He was asked, if the 2018 draft happened again, would you still draft DeAndre Ayton?
Yeah.
Trae Young has been on fire through the
yes.
second half of the season.
You say yes in that.
Doncic has set a record for the most triple-doubles ever for a rookie for the Mavericks, okay? So the easy answer is, well, with Doncic is really a surprise. But no, you have to say yes. Of course we draft DeAndre Ayton.
Yes, even if you didn't draft him, you say yes.
But listen to the middle part of the comment.
Not a question. You don't have to ask me that question. Like, he knows. If we do this again 100 times, DeAndre Ayton's our guy. We just believe that much. We believe in him that much. And if you watch us closely and if you watch what we do, as we integrate him more and he gets a bigger piece of the pie, I think you'll come to the realization that DeAndre is the guy for us.
You can't help but you can't read into it, because there's no way to know how James Jones meant that. But you have to let that float for the next year and kind of wonder. As we integrate him more, as you see him do more, well, why is that? Are you saying Igor hasn't used him the right way, hasn't used him enough, and therefore Igor is no longer the head coach? Are you saying DeAndre Ayton's been very slow to get it, and there's a basketball IQ issue that you have to work on, and another year in the summer league might help him?
Are you saying that there were guys who didn't know how to actually execute an entry pass?
Yeah. Is it more of a problem of the rest of the team around him? Or are you just saying, guys, calm down, he's a rookie, and all rookies need to learn more, and he's on a perfect pace, and he'll learn more, and you'll see more of him next year? Yes, Bear.
Cool. Just Bear. Before you guys break, Gambo just tweeted, breaking news, the Suns have signed Jimmer Fredette through the rest of the season.
Well, there you go. Jimmer. Jimmer!
Wow. Well, you never know when you need somebody that can help you beat Utah Valley State in a moment's notice. So that was really wonderful. I'm glad that Jimmer's here, and that'll be a game changer. Suns in the playoffs, 2019.
Oh, don't be sarcastic.
I would never do that. Jay Feely, are you more confident in your bracket or the Cardinals taking Kyler Murray? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We're calling him out. This is the beautiful part of the program where we expected to talk to bracket boss competitor Jay Feely.
Jay.
And he was going to talk about his bracket, college basketball, and a little bit of football in the NFL draft as a guy that has done a lot of college football games for CBS Sports Network.
Jay Feely, can you hear me?
But now I know why we could not get a hold of him, as I just looked at his bracket.
Is it that bad, Doug Lakes?
ASU fans, congratulations. You have won your first game in a decade, and Jay Feely is not impressed. He has Buffalo in the Sweet 16.
I'm not impressed.
So Buffalo over ASU and Texas Tech. So for all you dreamers at ASU, just know
that Jay Feely steps on your dream. I told you if you are a Suns fan, do whatever you can. If you didn't hear me talk about this earlier, do whatever you can to get in front of a television today, or even go to the point of recording it. Today at 1:30 is Marquette and Murray State. Two of the best point guards in the country, best scorers in the country, and really with Ja Morant being a very likely candidate for the Suns, you're going to want to watch that game. Jay Feely says Murray State upsets Marquette. And then here is his huge mess, okay?
Yeah.
He's got a huge mess in the East. He still has chalk at the end, Duke against Michigan State, Duke winning.
Okay.
But on the way there, that Mississippi State-Virginia Tech game that a lot of people are kind of wondering about,
yeah,
he doesn't even have it. He's got Liberty beating SLU. He's got the 12 over the 13, Liberty over SLU, and below it he's got Belmont beating Maryland. Here you go, Jay.
So you're saying that's why Jay did not come on?
I don't think Jay came on.
He didn't want to defend his bracket?
No. He's obviously defending Dan Majerle, saying if you're going to knock Dan Majerle out, you better win. So he's got the SEC champion Auburn out in the first round to New Mexico State from the WAC. And everybody's little darling team, Houston this year,
yeah,
that's coached by a very experienced college basketball coach, Kelvin Sampson,
yeah,
is the head coach of Houston. Jay is not impressed. He's got Georgia State.
I'm not impressed.
Knocking off Houston in round number one, and then really doubles down later, Iowa State in the Elite Eight knocking off Kentucky.
Here we go. Hey, you know what? Honestly,
Jay is,
give the guy some credit.
Jay is...
he's out on a limb, ladies and gentlemen.
And, of course, he has his beloved Michigan Wolverines in the Final Four.
Okay, listen, I don't sit there and attack other people's brackets from time to time, okay?
Doug I do today. Doug Lease knows
enough to actually attack somebody else's bracket. For me, ladies and gentlemen,
I take a very highbrow
approach to the NCAA tournament. A very highbrow approach. Having said that, I just go straight BPI. That's it for me right there. Bada bing, bada boom. Basketball Power Index, remove all of the emotion, take myself from the equation, and not only that, then you've got a built-in scapegoat. Is that not the hallmark of intelligence, ladies and gentlemen, to actually build in the scapegoat? You know what, honestly, I used my head. These people know basketball. They went with one metric. It's the basketball Power Index. And I'm just going to pick that and allow that to pick my bracket. Apparently, there's problems with it. Because Doug Lee says, when's the last time four number ones actually made it to the Final Four?
It's happened once in the last century. In this century, it's happened once.
But that's what BPI says right there. They say, so I'm good. You know what's coming. If, in fact, they do pick the Final Four accurately. And it happens for a second time this century. You know, oh my goodness, we're going to be bragging about the BPI.
Well,
and
here's
if in fact they don't fill out all four correctly as number one seeds, this is going to be this is going to be BPI and the faultiness of BPI.
If you're on your way into work and you haven't turned in your bracket yet, or if you've done it kind of an online thing that has the final countdown is done at 9 o'clock this morning, there's two things you want to know. And if you're an analytic guy like Wolf is all of a sudden, analytics don't take into account for two things here.
All right.
Number one, Frank Howard, good player for Syracuse.
Sure.
Boom, suspended.
Right.
So if you're going by BPI in your 8-9 game in the West, you've got Syracuse over Baylor. Well, the BPI has Syracuse ranked ahead of Baylor based on Frank Howard.
Yes.
Now there's no more Frank Howard.
That's problematic,
okay,
right there.
Then they also thought LSU was good because of their coach. Well, LSU went to the huge step of saying, wait a minute, with all these amazing allegations, we should probably suspend you until you talk to us more thoroughly and admit what's going on. Other schools in this college basketball scandal stand by their man and act like nothing's happened when it's obvious something has.
Yes.
Well, LSU says we're not going to put up with this. So now you've got LSU going into the tournament without their coach.
And by BPI, you would have LSU in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, there you go.
Without their coach.
Without their coach. You know what, Douglas?
Still
honestly,
doing it?
It's still about, as a matter of fact, yeah, I am still doing it. I'm still doing it because I can't go wrong. I cannot go wrong on this.
You can change it.
You can sit there and look at it and say, BPI, I had the intelligence, ladies and gentlemen, to pick the metric that picked the Final Four. Or, of course, you can blame the BPI. This is a beautiful thing. I can't lose. Either way. And that's the most important thing about filling out the bracket.
By the way,
I can't lose.
Speaking of the NCAA tournament.
Especially because there's no punishment. Isn't that great,
by
the way?
There is no punishment this year.
Awesome? It is awesome that there is no punishment.
I will tell you, Jay Feely, there's punishment enough. Losing anything to Jay Feely, you never stop hearing about it.
This
ever.
Is the most hyper-competitive kicker you have ever been.
So,
he breaks all the rules for kickers, by the way.
So if Bickley and Murata screw this up for us and we have to hear Jay Feely talk forever, that's going to drive me
no,
nuts.
No, I'm serious. Jay Feely used to take his cage. First of all, he had a good cage. He had the box cage. You don't see kickers going with a box cage for the most part. And not only that, he'd use the cage. He'd stick his face into the fire. That is a big deal. That endeared Jay Feely to everybody in that locker room because Jay was not only a kicker, he was a football player.
He's a high school soccer coach now. And I've heard some amazing stories from other high school soccer coaches about Jay Feely's sideline demeanor
really?
In a high school varsity
no
game.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Jay, you know what, Jay? We're not going to abide that, bro.
Put it this way. Put it this way.
We're going to hold you accountable on that, Jay.
I'd have to check with ASU, but I heard a rumor that Bobby Hurley has Jay Feely posters up in his office for to learn sideline demeanor. Say, man, I got to be more crazy. I got to act like Jay.
Jay, you must call in and deny that.
Join Bickley and Murata, followed by Burns and Gambo, live Marley's Chandler this Friday. We're kicking off the first round of the NCAA tournament, thanks to Santan Ford and Schwartz Laser Eye Center. And in the middle of Bickley and Murata's show, we're going live to Tulsa, as we'll have the game ASU against Buffalo right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We'll also be giving away tickets and prizes. And watching the madness unfold, head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com. Coming up next, Derek Hall. Does he think the Diamondbacks should be naming their closer yet? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Madam Speaker! The President!
I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the President.
He's the President and CEO of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hail to the Chief.
Derek Hall.
The President.
On Now with Doug and Wolf.
Good morning, Mr. President. Who's your closer?
We don't have to name our closer yet. We still got a week till we get going.
What?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, point of confirmation real quick. My daughter played against Jay Feely's high school team.
Yes.
A couple years,
yes.
And he is very intense. I'm just going to go ahead and confirm that.
No!
Guy is crazy. But he's very nice. He did go up to Kylie after both of the games. She couldn't play this year as a senior because she's in Development Academy. They don't let him play high school, which is a shame because she was her school's all-time leading scorer. But he went up to her both times and said, man, you're really good. And she came over and said, Jay Feely told me I'm good, which was real nice.
So, D, you have Zach
That's
Greinke,
the best story
your
you've ever had.
Day
That's fantastic.
Oh, that's terrible. I've been on the show over 10 years.
Right. That's fantastic.
Your right. name's Zach Greinke, the opening day starter here. Your thoughts on this? Kind of expected, right?
Yeah, expected. No surprise. I mean, you know, he is our ace, and the only the only debate was whether it was going to be he or Robbie, depending on the matchups. But it makes a lot of sense for it to be Zach.
Mm-hmm. And the closer, then. I mean, doesn't it make sense to name the closer?
No, you know what's great, though, Doug, is that none of them really seem to care. I mean, it's not affecting their preparation. They're all in it together, and I think whoever is chosen will do the job, but it's good to have three guys that can do it. But it's not so pressing that they have to make a decision right now. I think it's great that they're all pitching well and they're all getting ready for the season. And I think you can't go wrong with any of the three that you choose.
Do you now? I'm actually being serious. Do you guys know who the closer is, but you haven't talked to each person yet, so you don't want to announce it? Is there still competition? I mean, could somebody lose the closer job in the next week? Where does the decision stand?
No, great question. And I know that in most cases you may have an idea and you're just waiting to announce it, but that's not the case here. It still is competition. And I think everybody's got a different opinion. I think if you ask the pitching coach or the manager or the GM, and you know, they all have different opinions of who it should be right now. And I think that's a good thing. But again, you know, I don't think the guys are really hung up on it or worried about it. And those roles are all so intertwined and so important. And with days of rest, you know, they're all going to get a chance anyways.
Two catchers or three?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's still deciding there, too. I mean, it's been, you know, Torrey's deal to have three. So it's heavily debated downstairs, Wolf. And I think, again, it's a good situation either way. And Doug's favorite catcher had two big bombs yesterday and six RBI. So that was a good sign. And
yes,
he's our leader in the clubhouse in home runs this spring, Doug.
I did see that. I wasn't there, but I did see that.
So, Derek, do you guys sit around? You sit around every morning and talk personnel. How often do you have personnel meetings around the big ragtag?
No, they meet every morning on it, and usually I'll just meet with Mike and his staff, you know, during the day at different points. But they meet every morning talking about the roster, and those roster moves are made, you know, very early in the morning. But I catch up during the day and throughout the day with the baseball staff up here.
We're talking to Derek Hall, President, CEO, Arizona Diamondbacks. You mentioned it when we were talking about the closer, but now let's really talk about it. Are you ready? I mean, you've got 7 days left before the first pitch of the Diamondbacks version of the baseball season. Mariners are already in first place in the American League. But where do you stand? Are you guys ready?
Oh, we're certainly ready, and I think when you have a week left to go, you know, you better be. And we actually play two more games at Chase Field before we hit the road and open up at L.A. We've got Monday and Tuesday, which would be good for the guys to play under the new surface. In fact, they're going to go out there Sunday. A big part of the squad is going to go out Sunday and work out on the new synthetic grass. So it's going to be I don't know if we're ready to play there yet, but we're going to have one full day of workouts and then Monday, Tuesday, and we'll be ready to go at home as well. But, yeah, we're ready to start the season, no doubt. And knock on wood, we've been, you know, fairly healthy, which is the most important theme going into and out of spring, is stay healthy.
Dee, what did you think of Adam Jones in his spring training debut?
Oh, he looked good. He just missed one. He looked good in the outfield. You know, still a gazelle out there, just tracking down fly balls. And like I said, he just barely missed a home run, his third AB. But he looks great. It was fun to see him in the lineup. He was leading off for us. I mean, he can bat anywhere in the lineup, which is nice to have as well. But his leadership down there, you just watch him walk around, and when he speaks, everybody listens, and it's nice to have that voice in the dugout and in the clubhouse.
So important.
It is.
You just said, you know, when he speaks, people listen. I don't know if you've, you know, it's not like you're in the clubhouse every day, but what has he said? What have you heard?
No, it's mostly just preparation and going about the game the right way. You can see him sitting there, like even in the food room. I just, you know, was down there, and he's talking to the guys about preparing for the game. I mean, it's just nice to see. And guys are asking him, you know, what he's done over the years. And it's nice to have that veteran presence. I mean, this is a guy who has he's had a long career, a very healthy career, productive career. And for young guys, as Wolf just said, it's very important to have that guy in the clubhouse and for these guys to be sponges, and they really are absorbing everything he's given.
Dee, what do you think about opening day overseas in Major League Baseball?
Thoughts. Yeah, you know, we did it in Australia. We did not. We were not successful because we got swept by the Dodgers, but I really like it. I think the difficult part, Ron, is trying to make sure that you time it right so that you don't come back. Our big problem when we went to Australia is we came back and we still had a week and a half or 2 weeks to prepare, and it was awkward because you got ready for the season, you sped things up, you started a week earlier, and then you came back and it was kind of a letdown because you still had a week or two of spring training games. It was odd. I think the way that they're doing it now is getting closer to opening day, but I think it's a very good thing. You know, and the fact that we're going to have a series in London with the Red Sox and Yankees this year, you know, I'm still hoping that we're going to play in Mexico for regular season games because of our popularity there. It's always good to play overseas.
Now, that series, do you like the Dodgers and Red Sox, or excuse me, the Yankees, do you like the idea of doing it more All-Star break, more mid-season? Where does a series like that belong?
Well, yeah, in this case, it is more midseason, and I think it's a good test. And I actually think it works, you know, because you have to schedule it properly, again, with off days before and after. But I do think it works, again, because if you're going to go over there and play, and it's not such a far trip to go over to London, but then you come back, and if you do it before the season, are you then going to have to play more exhibition games like we did and like it looks like the A's and Mariners may have to do? This is non-disruptive. I mean, you go over there, you play those games, you come right back. I like it. And I think it's going to be a good test for all of us.
In the long run, D, is a 12-year, $430 million contract a good thing or a bad thing for Major League Baseball?
Well, I think it's a good thing. I mean, this is one of the greatest players of all time. He's certainly looking to be that way. You know, he probably deserves to be the highest paid player. And, you know, I'm excited for him. I'm excited for the Angels. And it's good for everybody. I mean, this sport, like every sport, you know, you hope when you get to a level where you should and can't get paid that you will. And the fact that he's going to stay with his team is a good sign, too. I think everybody would love for a player like that. You know, just like we battled with trying to keep Goldie here. If you have a player of that caliber who means so much to an organization, it's great to be able to keep him there, and that's what they were able to do.
Would you, the Diamondbacks ever have a 12-year contract with somebody, almost $500 million guy?
Well, you know, different markets, different teams, right? We've talked about the importance of certain markets like ours not making mistakes. Mm-hmm. And if you roll the dice with a long-term deal, you got to hope that player can play that long. I mean, you know, he's young enough. He's certainly shown that he can play at the highest level, and he has stayed healthy for the most part. So I think, you know, they should be able to get everything out of him. I mean, it just depends on the player, depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to me, right? How much people change in 4 years, let alone 12.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you go back to the signing of Harper, and I think somebody had said, you know, when he's in his final year, he's going to have teammates that are in fourth grade right now. You know, so, yeah. I mean, you think about that, and you go, whoa, I mean, that is a big change, right?
Yeah.
So the next time we have you on, we'll be live from a hotel in Los Angeles?
I can't wait. Yeah, and you know, this is always big this last week where guys are going a little longer. You're seeing our pitchers go 6-7 innings, get up there to, you know, 80 pitches. You're seeing guys go 3-4 at bats. You get a better feel of what this team looks like. So I can't wait to talk to you guys next week. And here we go. And by the way, you know, go Duke. So we'll see. And Sun Devils. And my Sun Devils. You know, I'll do a little name dropper. I sent Bobby a note last night congratulating him because I was so excited. They didn't play the greatest game, but they still won. And moving on to Buffalo. Go Devils. Both blue. Blue and Sun. Let's go.
Yeah, well, we're going to have Bobby on here in the next hour. Good to talk to you. Thank you, Derek.
Thanks, guys. Okay.
There's team president and CEO Derek Hall of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Opening day 1 week from today at Dodger Stadium. I love that they're opening on the road. I think it's so much better. And only because I would rather have a team that I'm rooting for open at home. But when you have the Cactus League, you got to get away. You've been here all month. You got to get away to have it signify, hey, the thing's beginning. Coming up next, who does I forgot to tell you that Derek Hall joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. You can go to Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Max Starks, Maximum Football. Who does he have in his bracket for the Cardinals to take number one? And who does he have in his actual Final Four for Bracket Boss? I'll give you advice. Don't follow his. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Diamondbacks president and CEO Derek Hall on the Doug and Wolf Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.